Slime Wire. Choose your own adventure.
We'll be right back.
Slime Wire. Choose your own adventure.
All right. Well, mahalo, everybody.
Mahalo. What's good?
Welcome to Slime Wire 2859. We are back again after a few sputtering and false starts. We're back in our prime and we're ready to go.
Totally.
It's been a little bit. We've been trying to keep you guys hanging as to what we've been up to, building suspense, but we're back with tensions. We're ready to go. So let's just check in with my co-host today, Triton T2. How's it going, Triton?
I'm good. How are you? I'm just chilling. Doing well. It was really, really hot up here. But it's like it's cooled down, and it's all good.
Yes, and I hear a heat wave is ravaging the northwestern area of the United States. The buildings are unequipped. People are falling over from heat stroke in their homes. Old ladies are passing away. What's up with that? How's that going? Is it over?
I guess it's over. The hottest it got was like 97 or something.
Gotcha.
So this is nothing compared to like, I think last summer at some point it was like 115 or some shit. Like,
yes.
It was like the hottest place in the entire world for like a brief amount of time. Literally.
Really?
The only place hotter was like the middle of the Sahara.
Okay, I don't know if I buy that, but
it was 115 degrees. Fahrenheit. Yeah, that's not like, normal.
Yeah, it's not normal, but hottest place in the world. We'll have to have a referendum on that. An update to our listeners, on my side of the pond, I was planning on returning to the United States, which would have ended the podcast because of the all-important international element of the podcast. Really no point in having it if it's not going to be
international.
Yes, provide perspectives from wide ranges of the world. But, you know, I thought, no, this can't end. This is not over. I can't return. It's
you
not
must
yet my
stay.
I have to stay for the podcast. Yes. And so I decided to get a job at a private school, and I'm now teaching the elite students of Japan the next daimyo, the next samurai class of Japan, are being taught under my.
Didn't you move to?
I moved to Fukuyama, very close to Hiroshima, and probably that's what most Americans will be familiar with. So the nuclear fallout is strong where I live. The air quality is poor.
Nice.
And the children are affected by generations of mutations in the blood. And
How do the locals view you after that?
They're mostly friendly with me. They seem to be over it, you know.
That's
I haven't really asked. Yeah, no, no hard feelings. I think is kind of how it works. We gave them the post-war economic miracle after the Hiroshima bombing, so kind of evens out in my book.
Yeah, they didn't need that, and we helped them out. So
yeah.
We're still the good guys. Yeah.
Still the good guys. Everything's good. They love me here. So, yeah, that's what's going on with me. And We got an excellent show for you today. We're going to be discussing... I think that SlimeWire should be a place where we forecast the new media trends that are going to be big in the next 2, 3, maybe 5 years. And anybody who listens to us will know that we believe that the things that are popular now were started in right-wing, racist 4chan forums.
Yeah, online forums, racist forums.
Yes, everything, the entire mode of communication of the youth today started there. That's where they created the lingua franca of, like, the millennial of our generation, right?
They let him cook, you know,
X-cell,
X-pilled. Those are all right-wing memes, yeah.
Yes, they've all entered into popular discourse. I think that keeping your eye on that space is a good way to predict what's going to come up. And we, Triton T2 has been trying to pill me, to educate me about this.
I've been researching.
Yes. I think from what it sounds like, more than researching, you've developed another autistic interest.
Yeah, for sure. And the difference between this one and other autistic interests is that this one is constantly changing, and it's 24/7. It's a constant thing that you have to be paying attention to. So otherwise, you'll miss out, and you won't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. We are, of course, talking about IP2 streaming.
Racist streamers, basically.
Yes. But, you know, there's a difference between the content of these streams, which are racist and violently misogynistic and, you know, just gutter trash type stuff.
Well, they aren't just racists. They're, like, oftentimes racist drug addicts, like, absolute deplorables with nothing going on besides this streaming life.
For the listeners, do you want to, I think we might have talked about it on a previous show, but do you want to break it down for anybody who's not?
We've already talked about it. I think what piqued my interest with it in regards to, like, it's predicting what's going to happen is this new Sam Hyde fish tank show, which of course is a 24/7 live stream house. And basically Sam Hyde found like 6 to 8, I think it was 6, like autistic Zoomers and trapped them in a house, and he's just been torturing them, and it's filmed and it's 24/7. And a lot of people really love it, and a lot of people have been saying that it's like the most they're like, this is the most innovative media concept happening right now, and that's like a lot of the stuff that's being said about it. And that isn't really true, because of obviously, like, this is a Big Brother thing, but like
I think that
the amount of toxicity and the like
is
very much taken straight out of these 24/7 live IRL live streamers that operate on the IP2 forum. And so it's basically lifted from that. And, you know, Sam Hyde's like a little bit racist, maybe, you know? I don't know exactly how racist he is, but a lot of people seem to think that he's racist. And if you think Sam Hyde is racist, boy, you haven't seen these other guys. Which it's a lot more toxic, a lot crazier. And basically what I'm saying is that Sam Hyde is not doing anything new. He's not really doing anything innovative. It is very entertaining and very fun to watch. It's almost over. I think tomorrow is the last day of it. It's been going for 6 weeks. But it's not anything new, and it's definitely not like the most extreme version of this type of content.
Well, let's stay on the IP2 streaming thing, and then we'll get into Fish Tank, because while we have talked about it before, I was mostly ignorant of it, I think, the last time we talked about it, but I have had a chance to consume some of this content. And yeah, it is very jarring, very terrifying to watch, you know, knowing that everything that's happening is real. And they're like, I don't know, they're tapping into, like, the energy flows of, like, the seedy underbelly of existence, you know? They're, like, bringing it into light. It's, like, very much, I don't know, like, kind of like real-life Trailer Park Boys type energy. It's Grace Manor energy. chaos, catastrophe, like, totally...
They're living on RVs, they're not showering, they're not... Like, you can watch these people 24 hours a day and you'll never see them brush their teeth. You'll never see them, like, groom themselves. They're wearing the same clothes every day. They're getting wasted every single day. Some of them are doing, like, illicit substances. Like, some of them are doing, like, Xanax and fentanyl. Last year, a dude OD'd on one of the streams and had to be given Narcan. And
Jesus.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But I also would say that it's not like, it's sort of in decline right now. It was a lot bigger a couple years ago.
Wow.
Most of the streams that I sent you and told you to watch, that I was like, this is a historical, like, this is a big part of the
lore.
Of the lore. Those are like older streams, mostly from around 2020. Which was the Baked Alaska arc. And, I mean, are you familiar with, like, who Baked Alaska is?
I'm vaguely familiar. I don't think, unless one of the streams you sent me was one of his streams, I don't think I've watched any. Well, yeah, that was the stream that you sent me. So,
yeah,
yes,
one of them was Baked Alaska. Yes. I'd like to... Well, so the thing with Baked Alaska was originally a, like, libertarian rapper that worked for BuzzFeed until he was radicalized by the Donald Trump campaign, became a member of the alt-right, got in really close with Nick Fuentes, started IRL streaming. And I would like to point out that even though the IP2 world is incredibly racist, misogynistic, they don't like Baked Alaska. They've never liked him. They've always hated him. But he does provide content for them. And so the thing with a lot of these streamers is that the community that watches them, they don't actually like them. They, in almost every instance, they want to see them get harmed. And that the only reason they will donate money to them is to play hateful donations that will erupt out of their loudspeaker and cause them to get into fights, or they will enable them to drink more until they get, you know, violently drunk. And so nobody ever liked Baked Alaska. I'd just like to point that out. I'm certainly not watching Baked Alaska streams because I like
him. Because you think he's good. Yeah.
No, I do not like Baked Alaska, but it is funny to watch him fuck around and, you know, fuck around with people and also hurt himself in the process.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think, like, it sounds like from that, and the thing that is interesting to me about it is that people have figured out a way to, like, tap the pure, like, vitriol or, like, the libidinal energy of the internet and, like, withdraw money from it, you know? Like, from what you're saying, it's like these guys have, like, figured out how to turn internet hate into money, and just like, and like that, like enabling them to basically live completely off the wall, like off the grid existences, you know, where like
literally travel the country for most of their lives.
So what they're doing is they're doing these crazy like pranks and these crazy, you know, shouting. When I say pranks, it mostly involves shouting slurs at people and and they do that in exchange for money. The money allows them to fund these streams, but like it's kind of like it's like a short flame, you know. It's there's not much
Yeah, they have what's called the IP2 cycle, where it starts and everybody hates you, and then you do something that they like, and then they start liking you. And then eventually you're at the top, you're at the peak of your popularity, but then eventually they will turn on you every single time. And it takes, depending on how much content you produce, the cycle can be very fast or it can take years. In the case of Baked Alaska, it probably took about 6 months.
Damn.
That's the other thing about Baked Alaska is that his streaming career is really like it's the perfect beginning, middle, and end that any of these guys has ever had. Because he started, was not, well, you know, completely unpopular, eventually gained notoriety because what he was doing was absolutely insane. He was basically just starting fights with people and then macing them and then running away, which he did to like 10 people over the course of like 4 months, you know, like it was just constant. He was just, what they said was he was macing across the USA. he spent a lot of time in Arizona, and he was specifically driving around in this RV that had a huge Trump flag on it. And he was basically just terrorizing. Like, he would go to every major city and just terrorize people. And the locals, like, knew that there was this insane Trump RV going around full of, like, it wasn't just him, he had, like, 8 other people with him. And they were just all, you know, going into bars, macing people, shouting slurs at people, getting into fights. And a lot of people have theorized that that's, like, a reason that Trump lost in Arizona in 2020 was because a lot of these people that had voted for Trump in 2016 were just witnessing this, you know, this vehicle just rampage across their state and cause problems. But then, so eventually Baked Alaska maced a bouncer and he got arrested. But then he got let go, and then it all culminated in him going to January 6th and entering the Capitol building and live streaming himself inside of the Capitol building to like 2,000 people. And he was the guy that put his feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk.
What? He was?
Yeah, that was him. And then the federal government ended up using that footage to like indict like 100 different people.
This is like huge news right now. He just got put into jail he just got 4 years in jail.
He got 60 days.
What?
basically, he's a federal informant at this point, is what people think. He got 60 days, he got out, and he actually just went back in for another 30 days. I think the judge ordered him another 30 days. And he has probation, he's not allowed to stream anymore. His streaming career has been ended because of this. But so he was the top streamer, like revitalized the community for like a year, and then due to his egregious actions lost it all.
Yeah, that's just an insane, I don't know, yeah, it's just very interesting because it's like you, and this is accessible to basically anybody.
Yeah.
So you can just choose. Well, it's like this new network of like a totally new way of like living, I guess.
Oh yeah,
that
for sure.
Like you just, and you were talking about stream snipers. Give us the rundown on what a stream sniper is.
There are people that watch the streams.
Like, yes, if you want to, sorry, if you want to start doing this yourself, the way that you do this is you have to like meet one of these people on the streams while they're streaming.
Yeah.
And this basically gives you a window into becoming a streamer yourself.
Yeah, so there's a guy, I think I was watching one the other day. There's a group of them that are in Chicago right now. And a dude was like, "Hey, I watch these streams. I live in Chicago." So he just like, and they'll like, you don't just have to find them. You can like message them on like Instagram or something. They all have their Instagram accounts linked and to their YouTubes and shit. So you just find their like Instagram, message them, and they're like, "Hey, I want to stream with you." And then they'll like even like, because they're constantly looking for what they call them, cast members.
Yeah.
And if they can find a new one, that's awesome. And they'll, like, they help each other set their, like, phones up for streaming. You have to have, like, a specific kind of phone. You have to have, like, specific programs and stuff. Most of them have two phones, so they have one phone that they're streaming with and then another, like, personal phone and stuff. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, that's just insane.
Yeah, it's a whole network. And, it, I mean, yeah, it's crazy.
There's, yeah, so you
the website... Shoot. Yeah, there's a website that just lists everybody that's live at the moment.
Yeah.
You can just pick who you want to watch. And it shows you how many people are watching them, too. So you know that if a bunch of people are watching one guy, you know that, like, some shit's going down on their stream.
Yeah. So you can pick and choose who you want to stream tonight, how you want to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, it just seems like, basically now, if anybody wants to... choose to just drop out of life, right? Yeah. You could at any given moment just find the closest streamer in your area, stream snipe them on your lunch break, and then just like leave your entire life behind, and now you just have to go vandalize people's houses and like harass people to get money and continue your life of streaming. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, in most cases, you will make almost no money unless, you know, I mean, you'll be living very, very meagerly.
Very rough.
Yeah.
But you can fund it. I mean, you can finance this lifestyle, and there is basically no responsibility. I mean, you don't have to do anything.
Not.
Yeah. So this just seems to me like it's something that, like, there is a kind of a, I don't know, like an economic incentive. Like the only people that, the only community that could set this up are like racist, you know, reprobates that aren't connected to society. Like the only, just because the only way that I would see myself giving money to one of these guys is if they did something extreme and harmful on the stream, right? Because I want to see that. I want to see that shocking stuff. That's the only way they can get money. So they have to go to the lowest common denominator of macing people and soliciting sex workers on the street and stuff.
That happens, yeah. There's a guy that, there's a guy that had sex with a hooker on stream and, got AIDS and showed his AIDS tests to the camera and stuff.
Yeah, it's beyond nihilistic. It's like, yeah, totally insane. Yeah, but I mean, I just feel like, so right now they've figured this out, and like in the same way that like now YouTuber is a career, mm-hmm. I feel like everybody is a YouTuber. And everybody has a podcast. And everybody, like, that... Everybody is trying to monetize those platforms in some way. The way that the internet works now is that those are going to be obsolete in, like, 1 or 2 years, and everybody is just going to be an IP stream. And if you thought that, like, people making careers off of going on YouTube and just telling people what they... Like, their banal statements about current events and stuff... If you thought that was like a lazy and like superficial way to make a career, then in 2 years, it's just going to be people just streaming their lives.
Yeah. So you think eventually everybody's just going to be wandering around with a Bluetooth speaker around their neck, just spewing, you know, hateful messages and racist songs.
But people are going to, people will figure out, I mean, normies will figure out some way, like, you know, people. Like, Frosted Flakes fans will pay you, like, 30 cents to eat a bowl of Frosted Flakes on the stream. And, like, you know, people will pay you, like, $20 to... People will cover the cost of your, like, Disneyland tickets to go to Disneyland for them when they can't go so they can watch it on stream and stuff. And that, like, in 5-10 years, all of the, like... 12 to 15 year olds right now, they all say they want to be YouTubers or influencers. 5 to 10 years from now, they're gonna be like, yeah, I want to be a streamer.
Yeah,
but in the same,
there's already like normies doing, I mean, I think Aiden Ross is doing it right now.
Yeah, and he's not yelling slurs at anybody?
No, he's just riding around in a van with a bunch of, like, hot chicks.
Yeah, see, that's enough. If you got, like, 3 or 4 hot chicks, you can get a bunch. You can get probably just as much money as the guys who are yelling at people on the street.
Yeah. Another interesting thing is that some of these guys, like, actually, like, really believe in what they're doing. And, like I think I sent you one where it's this guy, he gets, his name's Lowell's. And he gets absolutely blackout drunk, and then he starts, you know, he starts saying slurs, but he gets caught on, like, 1 or 2 phrases, and he just keeps saying them, and they seem to come out of nowhere, but from what I can gather, they're, like, somewhat premeditated, and he legitimately views what he's doing as, like, a form of art. Like, he believes that it's, like, it's satire, and that he's, like, an artist. And that people, and that his, you know, his paintbrush, he is the paintbrush, and the paint is getting blackout drunk and yelling slurs at people outside bars until somebody wants to beat him up. And that also, that one that I sent you, that's famously his debut. So he was a stream sniper, and and he, like, hit these guys up. They set him up with a streaming phone. They were like, you gotta, like, have a good debut. So he did that and ended up getting arrested by the end of the night. Like, totally crazy. Fucking insane.
These people are cancer cells, and they come into contact with other healthy bodies, and they give them these streaming phones, and they turn them into other sleeper agents.
Yes, the long, a big meme among the community is before and after pictures. So it's like before you start streaming and then after you've been streaming for 6 months, and the toll that it does to your body, you know.
Yeah, savage. But so years ago in the halcyon days of 2020, 2021, this is a big thing. It's already being turned into more mainstream, maybe accessible formats. And one of them is Fish Tank.
Yeah. And so this is the beginning of it entering, like, complete mainstream lexicon and, like,
viable.
And profitable. Fish Tank is making absurd money. Like, they're making way more money than these streamers are. Oh yeah, Fish Tank, like, to TTS in Fish Tank is like $100 for one message.
Oh shit!
Yeah, and people are
that's
paying.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's insane. So you've watched the entire series Fish Tank.
No. It's actually, it kind of sucks because it's a house and the cameras are in the corner of each room. So it's not great definition and it's hard to hear stuff. So I watched, like, the first, like, night, I think I watched for most of it. And then, like, a little bit of the second and, like, third night. And now I just, like, I watch the recaps. But I'm not watching, like, the whole... I'm in, like, a Discord server that, like, I read all the updates from it. A lot of crazy shit has happened in there. It's, like, hard to keep track of, but, yeah.
Damn.
Like, I think the clip that you saw was the one where the one guy, it turned out that he... Not that he was a pedophile, but that he was, like, really creepy, and he had written some sort of book about how to, like, date a camper when you're a camp counselor or something. And Sam Hyde, like, viciously ejects him from the show in a really funny way, but, like, it's like, so uncomfortable and jarring to watch.
Yeah, so do these people know that they're in on a joke, or do they think that they're, like, do they think this is a real reality TV show?
Do they know, they were told that it was a reality show, but I think most of them know who Sam Hyde is. And by, like, the third or fourth day, I think they figured out what was going on.
Oh, okay. Damn. All right, well, so are there any other highlights other than the creepy guy?
Man, a lot of crazy stuff has happened. I'm trying to think of, like, some other things that they did. They brought in like a homeless black guy that like smoked crack in one of the bedrooms. They'll often like shove, like they did one challenge where they all had to sit on the same bed for like a long period of time. And one guy peed in the bed like three times. There's a whole lot of poop and pee stuff.
Great.
There was this one guy on there. His name's John. He's not on there anymore, but he was like, he's like this autistic Andrew Tate super fan. And he has a speech impediment, and he just sounds like a baby. Like, like literally, he sounds like a toddler. He can't say R's and L's and stuff. And yeah. So everybody was like viciously making fun of him. but he's like this Andrew Tate. He's like a dumb Andrew Tate, like crypto dude. And so Sam Hyde would bring in this guy that is a supposed expert, but he's just a guy that would make them, and he would do financial seminars. So just to bore everybody, they all had to sit there for like an hour and a half and listen to this guy's financial seminar. But John, the autistic Andrew Tate guy that sounds like a baby, would always be very involved in like asking questions and taking notes and stuff.
He's into being like an entrepreneur.
There's a lot of stuff like that that's like really funny. It's just like Sam Hyde being like super meta ironic. He also would go in there, like during the early days of the show, he would go in there like basically every day, and the first thing he would do is he would go into one of their bathrooms and take a shit and just stink up the place. And then he would just use them to work out with him. Like he would just make one of them hold boxing things and he would box with them. And it was pretty funny. Trying to think of what else they did. They did a lot of crazy stuff. Right now they're in the final showdown because it ends tomorrow. And last time I looked, there's two of them left and they're stuck in one room and they just keep doing a bunch of mini challenges that are like ridiculous and stupid. And they'll bring random like fat people in to just like be naked and gross and they just have to deal with them. I think last time I looked, they had a goat in there. Just like shitting on the floor and like, yeah, it's pretty weird. I don't know.
Yeah, that's wild.
They're eventually, they've been, you know, they're collecting all this footage and I think eventually they're going to like edit a full like documentary about it, which will probably be very good. Is my guess.
Yeah, Sam Hyde has come into his own as the like, I really haven't watched that much of his shit. I really only knew him from, like, he had, like, a network of people that did, like, podcasts and YouTube videos, and I watched some of them. But I didn't realize that he was, like, this, like, I mean, I don't know, I don't want to say a genius, but, like, definitely, like, one of the most interesting people on the internet, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think what happened was he started streaming on YouTube and he would name all his streams like clickbaity, like get money now, and he basically like algorithm his way into like the front page of YouTube all the time and got like bunch of new fans, and like so now he's got like tons of money to like play around with dumb shit like the fish tank and
But yeah, this new form of streaming, live streaming that is hooked up with like a live comment box that interacts with the streamers seems to be a very potent format. I'm excited to watch it take over the world in the next couple years, and I want to stake out a claim to be the first people to notice that it's going to be the next big thing. yes, you heard it here first. This is going to be the next big thing, okay?
Yeah.
It's the next big thing.
Go watch it. It's interesting. It is racist and horrible and, like, deplorable, but it's really, really, it scratches an itch that nothing else can scratch.
For sure. Well, when I was watching the one in Japan, the guys that went to Japan, I can see how you get super, super entranced by it, just because it's like like you really don't know what's going to happen. It's oddly soothing and calming in a way, you know?
Yeah, and it never ends. It just
when they have
going.
Downtime. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, it's like calming to just watch these people and know that they just exist somewhere, you know? Mm-hmm. Yes, oddly soothing. So yeah, keep a lookout for that. I don't really have a segue into this, but we've been planning our return for months and months now.
Yes.
We've been trying to create the perfect podcast to return to. And one thing that we were going to talk about a couple months ago, I think it's maybe become a little bit stale, is HKE's latest schizophrenic manifesto.
Oh, the No Wing manifesto? I never read that whole thing. No Wing. I skimmed it. I read like the first couple paragraphs. I'm interested in what your take is because you seem to not like it, which I wasn't expecting.
I feel like HKE must have stopped doing drugs or must have, like, you know, settled down or something, because it just seems like a very normie, I don't know, very, very like 2006, I'm not into politics kind of thing, you know? I mean, I don't know if you got the gist of it, but it's basically just like, let's read one of the stanzas here. Art is above politics. Nerds can only react to our artistic originality and vision after the fact. We create, they react. We enjoy art, music, and the beauty of life. They enjoy being nerds who try to assemble everything into nerdy categories that all must abide by in their nerd fantasia. And it just kind of goes on like that. The basic gist
I'm fine with hating on nerds.
Yeah, I think nerds in this sense means anybody that is caught up in, like, the political spectrum, you know? And this is, like, something that I think it's kind of interesting because I agree with the sentiment generally that you, especially as an artist, especially as an artist like HKE, you don't want to get your music involved in any kind of political gestures, you know? Art is best when it transcends such things. But you have to assume a stance where you just don't talk about it, you know? You can't come out and say it. It's just very cringe to be like, I'm not on either side. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. You should just ignore it. I think he gets annoyed when people like assume he's like a right wing. He doesn't seem to really, I don't know. From what I've heard of his, like, whenever he does talk about politics, I don't think he like, I mean, of course he's British. I don't think he really understands like the left right dichotomy as it exists in America very well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, you know, I would expect every British person should, because I mean, their country's boring. We should pay attention to our politics, because our politics are kind of lit. Like, we get guys like Trump and fucking, Kanye.
Well, there's states. Yeah, yeah. Things might happen if things go south in the United States, whereas nothing's going to happen if the UK just continues to slide into poverty and degradation.
I mean, things will happen to British people, but I don't really care.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very small country. There's not that many people. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like in terms of HKE schizo posting, this is like a low. It's a low level.
I want more flap stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I want...
yeah, and I thought...
There was one point there where he got sort of transfixed on the idea of, like, how many grandmothers you can potentially have. By, like, will be like, did you know that your grandmother has a grandmother and her grandmother has a grandmother, and that's 60 grandmothers that you have? Like, obviously I'm getting the math wrong, but yeah, he was, like, cataloging the amount of, like, grandmothers that you could possibly have. And he did that for, like, 3 days. It was very, very funny.
And see, I think that HK's best political messages come from his strange, like, animal metaphors and his... There's, like, you know... Stuff. Yeah, yeah. When he's a prophet that is merely scribing the strange visions that he's receiving, like, the whole... do you remember the one where it's, like, there's, like, there's gnats, there's, like, swarms of flies...
The cloud of midges.
There's angels, but they've been like encased in like crystal at the bottom of the sea and stuff.
Yeah, of course. This is the vapor hell.
Vapor hell era. Yeah. That was all great. I think that when he is like his like weird characterizations of the vaporwave scene, are a better expression of politics, of his politics, than when he actually explicitly mentions them.
Are you are you back on Twitter?
I scroll through Twitter occasionally. I still have not reactivated my Twitter, and also my Twitter is gone now. Once you deactivate, you have a month left to reactivate.
Yeah, I noticed that your Twitter is gone. He recently posted, I posted a screenshot of like a 4chan new thread about Vaporwave. And then he replied to it and gave a long, like, several paragraph, in his words, history of the vaporwave scene, which is an interesting read.
Really? Mm-hmm. Is it a revisionist history? Is it a novel history?
It's very fair. He's very fair, and it's just how he sees how it went. And doesn't really, you know, he doesn't, like, big up himself too much. He says that Bedlam Tapes... from Oscob, like, ran the scene for about 1 year and in 2016, and I think that's true. He doesn't talk about hard vapor as if it was, like, super important, just as, like, a little footnote. And, no, it's a very fair history. And he's even fair to George Clanton, who, you know, I wouldn't be if I were writing the history of vaporwave. Also, George Clanton released two singles from his new album, and I haven't listened to them, but in the last single there was like a little press junket, and it has a track list for the new album, which has not come out, but one of the tracks is called Vapor King. And the word around the campfire has been that he has a diss track on there. And I'm betting it's that Vapor King track. And once that comes out, we are going to be reading that line for line on this podcast. reacting to it, yes.
Absolutely. You love to hear it. I think that, I mean, we'll get into this when we talk about HK's latest album, which... I thought was quite nice.
Oh, it's fire.
Quite fire. But it does seem like he's back. You know, he has waves, schizoid to normie waves, and it seems like he's back into his, like, normie period, you know, his sane period.
I think it's insomnia. It's just whenever he can't sleep, that's when he hits the nice shit. So.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, I actually think that during his schizo period, his Twitter game is up. But his music tends to suffer a little as he gets into the far reaches of, like, listenability. and then, once he has sleep, he's able to work on his music, and that turns up. But then he does something like the No Wing Manifesto, which I thought it was going to be about, like rejecting flap, because there's no wing in it. But to me it seemed like very normie. Reminded me of like this girl Megan that I was a classmate with in high school, and she said something like, I don't know, I don't like politics, I'm not on one side or either side. And so, I mean, that's fine, and I think everybody should be like that to some extent. But being a 35-year-old man publishing the same viewpoints.
I don't know what... Like, I think HKE likes, like, Tim Pool and stuff. You know, he is pretty normy politically.
Yeah. I think that that's going to wrap it up for the front end of the podcast today. When we come back, we're going to have a little bit different, a little nice mix-up for our album review portion, because I have listened to all of the albums this time, and Triton T2 has not. Usually it's the other way around.
Wait, what? Aren't there a couple other things we were supposed to touch on?
Like what?
Oh, Shima went viral.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, we have some last-minute additions that I did not work into my script. This show is scripted, completely scripted.
So this is funny. Shima, somebody posted, like, their experimental... it was a playlist they made on Spotify. It was called, like, experimental/noise music. Let me look at some of the cuts here. You got Death Grips. You got Machine Girl. You got Sewer Slut. You got Aphex Twin, and you got Flying Lotus.
Well, you're going to have to slow down there, because there's a lot of stuff I haven't heard in that, and...
pretty experimental stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to have to hit the books, because I got some research to do.
Yeah, so Shima quote tweeted it and said, "This is experimental music in 2023. Algorithmically decided and cornered, 100% pure algorithm core. No innovation, no new concepts, no impact, no optimism, no aspiration, soulless. Just 100% pure surface level, I'm a weird kid music for dipshit losers. Get a clue, dummies." And a lot of people got really mad at him, but he's completely right, first off. He didn't say a single lie there. But there's 41 quote tweets on this tweet. It's been viewed 40,000 times.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, Shima's Twitter is breaking out of the vaporwave world.
Yes, it's transcended vaporwave.
Yeah. Let me get on the Twitter app and read some of these quote tweets here.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, God. Come on, Shima. Shima can be kind of juvenile, but generally I think he's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems like a saner counterpart to HK. He was running the Gene Catalog label, right?
For a point, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's one. "One of my favorite things on Micro Music Twitter is seeing former artists from failed music catalog label and seeing their shitty elitist opinion." What, like, I don't understand what's wrong with being elitist about music. Jesus Christ, you must be fun at parties. it's very fun. "Being a hipster towards hipsters, this place stinks." Bro, what do you think being a hipster is? Like,
That was always the entire point. And it's kind of like a fun game to try to one-up people about...
Yeah, you gotta out-hipster the hipsters.
Yeah, that was like the entire point of it when it was a big thing. And and I feel like being like... It's one thing when you, like, aren't an artist and aren't, like, involved in making music and you have, quote-unquote, elitist opinions, although I still think it's okay. Yeah, it's okay to be elitist. If you like music, you think that
you
some
should be
better than others. Yeah. And I think, anytime you, like, love an album or love an artist with your whole heart and soul, I think you got to take it all the way to the end and be like, yeah, this is better than other things. This is like, this is good, or else you just don't have any self-respect. But also, Shima 33 is like, he's like an artist. He's actually he makes music. So if there's anybody who should be allowed to be elitist, then it would be somebody who's actually an underground musician. And he has a case for like...
Oh, yeah. He's been involved in Vaporwave since like 2013. Like,
yeah.
Ran Dream Catalog for like a while. Like, yeah, he definitely has earned like stripes to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, and I think that if you, on the other hand, are somebody that is like, yeah, dude, I love experimental music, like Flying Lotus, Aphex Twin, you know, MF Doom and shit, it's like you, like, the current state of alternative music where it is like so totally marginalized, it's not even popular or cool to like, it's not even considered a mark of respect or a mark of, I don't know, distinction to like have good taste in music anymore. Like,
no, Fantano fucked it up. Everybody just listens to the stuff Fantano likes.
Yeah. Well, and there was
all the stuff Fantano likes is the stuff that was popular on Mew like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, there was a great Sam Chris article a little bit back called All the Nerds Are Dead, and it was talking about how like hipsters and nerds were like products of different like information ecosystems, right? So in like the 2000s, you didn't have the internet, or you had the early internet, which allowed people to like look up a bunch of obscure shit, but it was still hard enough that it was
you had to put the effort in.
Yeah, yeah. So if you go and you find some obscure band or something, then that was like a that was something that you put work into, and cultivating a sense of taste or something was important.
Yeah.
But then once the internet got big, that became totally redundant because anybody can find anything at any time. So then it became nerds, which are like the difference between a hipster and a nerd is like, a hipster has a sense of like the quality of the content that they're consuming, whereas the nerd is they get clout based on just the sheer volume, right? So like we're all watching Marvel movies, but the person who knows the most, who's consumed the most Marvel shit, is the best nerd, right?
Yeah.
But this is all like he just had a thing. He had like a line in there where he was talking about going to a party in like 2019 that was like, you know, upscale New York, young, cool people. And they were just listening to like a Spotify playlist of like, you know, Taylor Swift and fucking like, you know, just like not even like normie experiment or alternative music, but just like straight up just regular pop music. Like it's not cool, it's not considered anything to be into experimental music, which means that like artists that don't get mainstream attention are suffering so much worse because it's not even like people aren't even looking at searching them out anymore. I mean, like what we've been saying on this podcast for a long time, like not just the vaporwave scene, which is slowly petering out and dying, but like all alternative music is just withering, and it doesn't seem like there's anything like when I was a kid, like, you know, like Flying Lotus is normie now, but like when I was like 14, 15, it felt like you're discovering something interesting and cool, and there's like this whole world that you can go find if you look for it, and that just doesn't exist now. So. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can, but it's, like, it's algorithmically designed for you. So, like, if you want to get into hip-hop and you're not, like, you don't listen to hip-hop, all you have to do is go to, like, a Reddit that has, like, 60,000 members.
Yeah, and yeah.
They're, like, cataloging every, like, the ten best albums that you need to listen to, like, for every, yeah. like, week, you know? And, so, I mean, you have to actually put in work into listening to it. But you aren't, yeah, you're not cultivating any sort of taste at all.
Yeah. But that, like, yeah, that work is just opening your mouth and letting the algorithm shovel this shit into your hole, you know?
Yeah.
But so from that perspective, like, it's easy. And of course, Shima 33 and all of the other, like, rogue vaporwave artists are very easy to hate because they. The way they phrase everything they say is very mean, but from like their perspective, it's like if you are, I don't know, if just liking Flying Lotus and Aphex Twin is enough for you to be like, yeah, I'm into like real underground shit.
Yeah.
Then like there's other like it sucks for artists right now who are underground and not getting attention to. For these people to just be content to like that, to like normie tier electronic music, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah,
go listen to Shima. Go pick up an album.
Yeah, support him. His latest thing that we're going to be talking about today was quite good. I think it's pushing boundaries. I think it's really interesting, but we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah, there was one more thing I wanted to discuss or just touch on. I think it's funny. But yeah, Roger Waters, you know, from Pink Floyd, of course.
Yes.
He's super old now. But he did a show in Berlin. I think he did The Wall. And he dressed up in like an SS, like an SS uniform, not an actual SS uniform. It was like The Wall, you know. Have you seen like The Wall?
Yeah.
They have that scene where he's the rock star and he's hallucinating that he's like a Nazi, and it's not a swastika, but it's the hammers crossed, and so he wore that and he like shot like a prop gun. And this was in Berlin, where I guess it's really not okay.
Yeah.
Any Nazi type stuff, even though Roger Waters is extremely anti-war, like
been known
forever. But yeah, so now he's being investigated by the German police, and he might be going to jail. Like, and also he's like 97 years old.
Yeah,
like he's so old at this point. But also another thing, I don't know if this is like a Mandela effect thing, but I remember there was like a Pink Floyd like live concert thing where they did The Wall at the Berlin Wall, where they must have had Nazi shit, you know?
Yeah, because it's part of the whole The Wall iconography.
It's part of the show. Like, The Wall's been the exact same since fucking 1979.
Like, it's the same.
He's all worn that fucking uniform.
Yeah. Yeah, so now the new police officers of the German police force are Zoomers. They've never listened to The Wall. They have no idea what it is. And they're like,
they don't know Roger Waters.
Yeah, this guy's a Nazi and we gotta take him in. Yeah.
Very funny. Shouts out Roger Waters. Keep him in your thoughts and prayers, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a king.
Roger Waters. That is totally just in, like, where to even begin? Like, who is right here?
Roger Waters is right.
Yeah,
he's like an anti-Zionist fucking like based dude. He's fucking awesome.
He's all that music was integral to like the 60s like resistance movements, and that's just insane. I don't know. I mean, it is very common knowledge that like Germans don't fuck around with that. Like, they don't like it when you do that. They're still kind of embarrassed about it.
It wasn't that long ago. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't
yeah.
even 100 years ago.
Yeah, there's still Nazis who are alive.
Yeah.
Not very many, but for sure. I feel like Roger Waters, maybe he's getting on in years. Maybe he didn't know which city he was going to.
Maybe.
I think it's not right that he's getting
investigated.
Done like that, but you know, if there's anywhere that you shouldn't do that, it's probably in Berlin.
Well,
somebody
yeah.
should have pulled him aside and said, hey, listen, it's different times.
Just from, like, I don't know, I don't watch, I've never listened, I think I've listened to, like, maybe one interview of Roger Waters, but just from listening to, like, The Wall and the other, like, Roger Waters helmed, like, Pink Floyd stuff, I think it's not a stretch to say he's an extremely narcissistic, pretentious dude.
You're
probably not going to be able to convince him not to put on the Nazi uniform.
Okay, fair. Touché.
He's also not Jewish. He's British. Mm-hmm. His dad died in the war. His dad was a conscientious objector that turned a coat and decided to join the army afterwards.
Damn.
Or no, he was a conscientious... He was a conscientious objector. He still got drafted. He drove ambulances, but then he decided, nah, I'm going to kill these motherfuckers.
Hey.
And died like 2 weeks later.
Savage.
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep Roger Waters in your thoughts and prayers, everybody. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. We are going to be reviewing HKE's new album. We got the... Shima 33, and who is it? Who's the other artist on that?
I think it's May.
Yeah, May's Split.
Capface, yeah.
Yeah, and the number one contenders match.
Yeah, Lynx, Linux, and you know, our boy, the disgraced Sunshine.
Yeah, beautiful stuff. Yeah, we'll see you in a couple minutes, folks. We are back.
I'm back. Right. We're back.
For our music review portion of the show, we have a nice little spread of sounds for you this evening. We've got something that I feel is looking into the future. An album that looks back into the past, and one that is focused on the eternal now. The eternal present. And I am thinking that we should start with the first one that I listened to, 333 by Shima 33 and May.
Sorry, I didn't listen to it. I've been busy watching racist streamers.
Yes, yes.
And getting kicked out of Discord servers.
Yes. Well, you've been very busy, and you provided a lot of context around these racist streamers, and we all thank you for it.
No problem.
No, we appreciate it. But I did have some thoughts about this one. I really like this one. I say this is looking into the future, because we have covered the emerging hexed genre of music on this podcast. I think this is another good release in that vein. And this sees Shima 33 and May :3.
I think it's May Catface or some shit.
May
Catface. How you say the name.
All right, well, I'm going to pronounce it literally. May colon three.
Got it.
So they're...
Couple of zoomers.
Yeah, a couple of hardcore zoomers refining their style, refining their sound. And I think I've been long hopeful that Hexed is going to emerge as maybe a rival, an alternative genre that will be the shot in the arm Vaporwave needs to, you know, get its act together. Or maybe it'll supersede Vaporwave overall. But I really like this this collection of songs.
I will say, in regards to that, I'm not sure. So, I mean, we've listened to some Hexed, we've covered Hexed. The only people that I see making Hexed in this way that they're doing it, where they're sampling work that isn't their own, seems to be these guys. Every other Hexed album I listen to is like a rap album that they, you know, they made the rap songs and then they did that to them. And it seems to be mostly original music, but Shima and May obviously are, you know, sampling. Utilizing, crate digging and sampling.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what, if there's other artists that are doing that. Asked the question, like in the Discord server and stuff, I really haven't gotten like a pure answer. So I don't know if Hexed could ever supersede Vaporwave per se. And honestly, I don't think that it will. I think that the underground is dead. I don't think anything new is going to come out. If something new does, it'll be completely completely out of nowhere.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're getting old. We can't, we just can't understand what the youth are doing, how they're feeling. I look at it and I don't see anything promising. But, you know, that's what was said about our generation, such as the way of life.
True.
But, I guess there is, these are obviously artists that have their foot in both camps. That is a very incisive comment that these guys are based in sampling, and that does lead into, I really like the idea what they seem to be doing, which is just replacing the idea of slowing down and reverbing samples with bit-crushing samples. That's what they're doing.
And speeding them up often.
Yeah, speeding them up. So yeah, slowing down reverb has been replaced with speeding up bit crushing. And I just really like the... that seems to be the right move because it retains kind of the same laziness or, balls out attitude of Vaporwave of just stealing a sample.
Mm-hmm.
They're replacing the processing with a different, a different sound effect. And they're exploring the sonic textures that can be created in the same way that pioneering Vaporwave musicians did with slowing things down and reverbing them. I think I really like the, they seem to be getting better at it, and I think they, this fast kind of dancey, trance drum beat, trance kick, super fast dance music style really lends itself well to bit crushing samples, because when you bit crush a sample, as you change the amount of bit crushing that happens to it, different wavelengths of the sample get more crunchy and they get more rhythmic, they start popping out. It kind of is a way to change the rhythm of a sample in a very precise way. They'll have a lot of tracks where it just starts out and the bit crushing level is set low and then it increases over time, and it brings out these different frequencies of the sample as the bit crushing gets harder and harder and harder. And it changes up the rhythm of the song. I really like that And again, like, that just, I really like that step. It seems like a good way to, like, advance this kind of music, sample-based music, just changing the plug-in effects that you're using.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I really like it a lot. And yeah, it's fun. It's high energy. It's intense. Some standout tracks. I think All Cats Are Beautiful. Very nice. And it kind of slows down.
Is it a split or is it like a collab?
I think it's a collab. I'm pretty sure it's a collab. It says it's a split, but none of the tracks are like credited to either one of them. Okay. So if it is a split, I don't know where it is split. But yeah, so the first, like, you know, 4 or 5 tracks up to Weed Clouds are just these really fast, intense, like, trance-style tracks, and then it slows down, and they're, like, sampling and bit-crushing, like, old soul tracks. It's good stuff. I'm into it. I'm excited. I want to see where they can take this new sound. Thumbs up to me.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and then the next one, we are going back to the past. I was wondering what your thought process, like, you didn't listen to these. Why did you choose these?
I don't know. I mean, I just thought they sounded interesting. Lynx Linux sent me this one, sent me a Bandcamp download code, which I haven't used, but I'll still use it. But I just haven't gotten a chance to listen to it. But I don't know. I just want to rep, like, the people that we rep, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Because I'm not paying attention. I'm not paying attention to fucking music anymore.
I know. I know. Me neither.
I'm just not. It's just so boring. So, like, I want to rep the people that I, like, am friends with on Twitter. So.
Hell yeah. Basically. Well, I'm into that. I think you inadvertently chose some good stuff, so.
Nice.
Yeah. So this one, I can see why somebody would want to bring this to our attention, because it is definitely a blast of the past. You're talking slow.
I understand it's a wrestling-themed vaporwave album.
Wrestling-themed vaporwave album. Very excellent choice of, like, samples, vocal samples. There's, like, one where it's all vocal samples taken from, like, wrestling shows, so it's just really buff, like, masculine dudes yelling at each other.
Nice.
Over, you know, 80s, which I assume all the music was taken from wrestling soundtracks in some way, I don't know. But yeah, slowed down, reverbed up, given an uncanny and unearthly feeling. Very nice. Like it a lot. Yeah, I mean, this one didn't pop out. Like, this is just another nice collection of vaporwave tracks, you know?
Hell yeah. Big shouts out. How'd our boy Sunshine do? I've never really listened to his music that much.
Oh, Sunshine. Sunshine, the only one that's credited to him is Hard Times. And if I'm being honest, I can't remember what it sounds like.
I'm sure he did more tracks. It's a split between them.
I don't know if, like, Santino Titantron is that, like, the first two tracks are Santino Titantron, then you got Sunshine.
That's probably a mix of them.
Gotcha.
That's probably them working together. Well, what's the album called? I'm trying to look it up.
Number One Contenders Match.
Number One Contenders Match. Santino
Titantron.
Titantron. That's pretty similar to my name.
I was kind of wondering. Yeah, I was wondering why you chose it.
I'm sure Santino Titantron is them together.
Okay.
And then they each have a solo track on there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you got lots of funny, very they chose their vocal samples well. There's one where, like, they're interviewing a wrestling guy, and the wrestler starts saying, "I want to talk to whoever's mixing this. I want to see whoever's mixing this. Who's mixing this? Who's mixing
this?" That's awesome.
Like, yeah, yeah. It's like, very, yeah. Good stuff. Funny stuff. and that is over some soothing jazzy tunes. So yeah, I was into it. I don't think it's as, you know, path breaking. It's just a throwback to the good old days. So yeah.
Hell, loved yeah. It.
All right. And then finally, we're talking HKE's latest, which we both listened to. We're talking Hellworld? That's what it's called?
Hellworld, yeah.
Hellworld, baby.
On Dream Catalog. This yes. is fire. It's yes. it's the perfect, like you know how the last one, I think it was A New Mystic Trajectory?
Yeah, yeah.
That was like the culmination of the like flap sound and like yes. really tightening it and making it like a lot more for lack of a better word, accessible. But yeah, just like yeah. really like tightening you know, shaving off the hard corners of that yeah, sound. Yeah. and it was really, really good. And I feel like this is him taking that style and putting it inside of his, like, it's a culmination of a lot of different styles that he has. So you have the ambient stuff, you have the yeah, techno for sure. stuff, and then you also have the vocal stuff with the flap stuff. And it's just it's a really good like a picture frame of like the best of what HKE can do at this moment with all of his different sounds going on.
Yeah, yeah. He did I think he mentioned in the blurb that this is his attempt to, you know, get back, like, you know, do something professional, do something real, real slick and real mm-hmm. Well done. And yeah, really definitely gets in there. And yeah, he's going back to, like, you can hear, I think, like, where New Mystic Trajectory.
Yes.
In flap
a
in general.
New Mystic Trajectory.
Yeah, it eschews the earlier kind of, like, British electronic music influence, you know? Like, you can't hear that as much. You can't hear the house as much. I really liked... This is a lot more housey, a lot more electronic music-y, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's just real good at playing these rhythms off against each other. I really loved Pandemonium for that, just super fast, and every sample that, or every new instrument that's added adds a new layer of rhythm to it. Yeah, so it's just real good.
Yes, yeah, stupid fire.
Yeah, nothing much to say about it other than a return to form. I would say, yeah, reincorporating some of the best stuff that he got from mining the flap sound, reincorporating it back into the broader HKE framework. And
yeah, it's just, you know, every... When HKE really, like, you know, puts something out like this, it's like, it's just production genius, production excellence.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, an idiosyncratic production.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing it differently than everybody else is, but it sounds so crisp and perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, like, there is some alternate universe where this is, like, the main aesthetic of, like, of contemporary culture, you know? Where, like, this is what everybody listens to, and this is, like...
It's a dark world. It's
like... Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but still, no, I mean, it is so, like, so sad that it's not as popular as it could be, because it's so, I don't know, feels so modern, and, like, again, like, I don't know if we've said this on the podcast before, but, like, you could replace all music with just HKE, like, from, like, the year 2012 onward, you could just...
Yeah, it's all you, like, need.
He's, yeah.
He could, really, like, he's the biggest fucking genius.
Yeah, you could delete, like, all music and replace it with just HKE's catalog, and there's, like, enough variety, and there's enough... It would still be, like, sound like it was, like, evolving from where it was, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like there's an alternate universe where he is like the Kanye of 2023, where he's like the biggest artist of 2023. And yeah, he deserves it. It's so crazy.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's so like street.
I mean, I don't want to lose Kanye, but
yeah, it's so high fashion, you know? It's so London. That I feel like anybody who listened to this would think it's cool. This is like the soundtrack to a really cool like fashion show. I don't know. It's good stuff. Yeah. So yeah.
Big shouts out.
Yes. Quality stuff, great stuff. And yeah, I guess that about does it for the how many times have we returned now?
Several. Yeah. I don't know. a lot. Like I mean, that's part of the fun of the show, is that.
Yeah, you never know when it's going to come back.
Yeah. Or if it's going to.
Yeah.
It might be over. I think ending it on the Monarch would have been a very funny choice.
Yeah, that would have been good, yeah.
But we just couldn't stay away. So.
Yeah, you coming on to the stream halfway in drunk was like a work of comedic genius that was totally.
Hey, I saved that shit.
You did. Yeah, it was one of the most embarrassing like hours of my life.
I knew I had to go in. I had to show up.
Yeah, it was no good. So yeah. Well, good to see you. Good to see all of our loyal listeners again.
Yeah, we'll see how far the listener count has plummeted.
Yeah. Hi, Mom. And hello, everybody who's listening to this now. All right. Well, that about does it. That's a big sayonara from me.
Sayonara. I'd like to remind everybody that we are still always... what's the word? Repping the slime comp on I Won't Stop Until We've Put Every Fucking Song from the Slime Comp into this show. So the first track you heard today was Balm by Channel Select. That is track 3 off of the Slime Comp, and then probably some other bullshit. I haven't edited the intro yet, but and it won't all be Slime Comp stuff. During the break is going to be Personality by Bosby. That's track 4 off the Slime Comp. And then playing us out is going to be the second to last track. Last time we did the last track. So this one is going to be All That I Dream by Skeleton Lipstick. One of the fantastic most fire tracks on the whole comp. And that leaves about probably like 20 more tracks that we have to feature. So we have to keep doing the show, I guess. It might be like 2 years until we are done featuring all of the Slime Comp tracks on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess that's it. I'm gonna say sayonara.
And that's a big sayonara for me. See you later.
true.